participant. For a menu of available commands, press star pound.
Willamette F. Palm.
Good morning. Welcome to the September Willamette F. Palm meeting. We'll start by seeing who's on the phone. Who do we have from ODSW?
Morning, Tammy. This is Ryan Hester.
Good morning, Ryan.
This is Greg from Minto Marion Park.
Good morning. All right. How about U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service? Do you have anyone from the Grand Ronde Tribe? How about Willamette Valley Project?
Hey, Tammy, this is Chad Helms.
Good morning.
Hi, everybody. It's Doug Arliss.
Good morning, Doug. Aaron, are you on? Chad?
Yes, I'm here.
BPA? And NOAA Fisheries. All right, anyone else from Portland District or anyone I haven't called?
This is Natalie.
Good morning, Natalie.
Hey, Tammy, Bob Wertheimer here with the Fish Fuels Unit, just calling in this morning.
Good morning.
Got Tom Tuttle, Tacoma, Washington.
Here in the room, this is Tammy.
This is Andy Traylor.
Rachel Neuenhoff.
Rich Peskowski.
Ida Barnes.
Franklin.
All right. Are there any updates to the agenda? All right. Moving on, let's approve the August book club meeting minutes. Anyone have any objections to that? Excellent. Moving on to action items. Ryan, you had an action item.
Yeah, so I did check in a little bit in the bed monitoring at the falls. I can either give an update now or later in the PinnaPet update section. Your preference, whatever it says.
All right, we'll come to the PinnaPet section.
Okay.
Update.
All right, HMT. So we didn't have a meeting last week because we're kind of in the thick of it for collection, out planning, spawning. We just did some email updates, so I'll summarize those. And Aaron, I can send you these over email so you don't have to try to write all these numbers down rapid fire.
That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So the North Sanium adult sprinkler collections to date, they've had just over 2,000 marked fish back and 245 non-marked fish back. All non-marked fish have been released above Minto. The spawning has been completed for the North Sanium. They hit all their production targets, so no problems there. Got 50 fish outplanted into Horn Creek, 715 adults into the North Sanium via the log deck site, and about 169 fish into the Brighton Bush. That's low for the Brighton Bush, but there's been some problems there. Greg's contact up there at the Hot Springs, we found out he actually passed away in a car accident. So Greg's been having some troubles actually getting a hold of anyone up there at the Hot Springs Resort, so we haven't been able to use that site, at least in recent weeks. So I know Greg's been seeing if he can make some contact up there and we can regain access to that site because it is a really nice site to put fish in there.
Andy, I was allowed in there yesterday. I have a new contact named Brenton.
Okay.
He is fairly new to the area, but he is going to continue to work on letting us in there. Really nice guy. We got our pipes and everything out of there yesterday, so we'll continue to work on that.
Great. That's awesome. Good news. All right. Also, for Minto, mortality was low this season, cold attempts. Greg reported that pre-spawn mortality was just a little bit over 2%. In the South Sanium, they've had 1,324 hatchery spring chinook collected. Let's see, spawning pairs expected to be reached, so they're going to continue spawning for another couple weeks, but they think they'll make their target. They've had 81 unmarked spring chinook collected at Foster. Of those, 57 males and 24 females, and all unmarked fish have been outplanted above Foster, so there's no currently held adults on site at that facility. They had 1,219 summer steelhead collected. Brood needs have been met there. They provided 75 adults to Fenton, I believe, for a study of the Foster weir. And
I need more fish, Greg.
Or Brett.
Or both of them.
Yeah. And Brett said all juvenile fish are healthy and on track to meet production goals. McKenzie, they've had a bunch of fish back there. Run size as of last week was just shy of 5,000 spring chinook. That includes 69 unmarked fish that have returned to the hatchery. Those were all released back into the river. They also collected 218 summer steelhead. Kurt also reported low mortality of adults that were on hand. Outplanting so far, they had 548 fish released upstream of the Terwilliger fire at the Frizzell Crossing Bridge in South Park, McKenzie. Of those, they had 173 males and 374 females and one jack. Ryan, do you know if they plan to outplant any more adults up there, or are those the final numbers?
Those should be the final numbers.
Okay, thanks. Kurt also said the spawning is nearing completion. Sounds like this week is their anticipated final spawn, and they're on track to meet production goals. Fish health has also been good. At Willamette, they've spawned just over 600 pairs and expect to meet all their egg take goals for the season. They've outplanted 355 adults into the North Fork, Middle Fork, and 298 adults outplanted into the Middle Fork above Hills Creek. All juvenile fish there are healthy as well, and everything's going like normal. And then at all the different hatcheries, folks are continuing to work on safety issues and environmental concerns that were addressed in the recent reports that Portland District delivered a couple of months ago. And I've been working with Ryan on whose responsibility some of those things are. Some of them are larger, more programmatic issues that we can provide some guidance on. So making progress there. Ryan, that's all I've got, unless you or Greg want to add anything.
Thanks, Andy. I think that pretty well covers any updates I had, so I have nothing else to add.
Cool.
Just the only thing I had, we just got our final BKD numbers. We only had 4 positives, 2 lows, a medium, and a high out of all of our brood females, so that's good news.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah, and I guess I can add, this is Ryan, I can add BKD was exceptionally low in the north, low across all the other sub-basins other than the Middle Fork, which isn't new. We typically see higher BKD with the adult holding situation at Willamette Hatchery. So I think we were certainly above 10%, maybe even pushing 15%. I don't have that number in front of me, but certainly higher BKD levels in the Middle Fork.
Cool. Ryan, do you know what pre-spawn mortality has been looking like for the adult broodstock held up at Willamette Hatchery? Has that jumped up in the past few weeks?
It has not, no, and partly due to Dan and crew kind of getting in there. We did spawn a week earlier. I think they spawned on the 5th or 6th of September, which is kind of a week earlier than traditionally we'll get in there. But we've, you know, Dan's stayed on top of those fish. I don't have a great number for you, but I think it's definitely in the 20% range, which, as you recall, years past has been north of 50%. So,
gotcha.
Still some room to go, but better.
Cool. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Hello, HMT updates. Lance, did you join us?
I don't really have any HGMP updates. We've been working on the rainbow trout HGMP with ODSW to get that one updated and submitted to NIMS. They're waiting on the submittal of that HGMP before releasing the new hatchery biop for the Willamette. I sent that back to ODSW, let's see, last week or early this week? Early this week. And I think we just have a few more edits to go through, mostly editorial stuff to do with purpose and design of the program, none of the specifics on numbers or anything like that. So hopefully we can get that turned around to manage the NIMS sometime this week or next week. Ryan, I know Elise was out, I think until today, but she's the one that's looking on that. I don't know if anybody else has had a chance to look at that HGMP yet.
Yeah, good question. I'm not sure. I know Elise has been the point from ODFW's perspective on that HGMP review, so I can check in with her. I'm sure she's, once it's back in the office, I'm sure she'll see the email string, but yeah, I don't really have a good update for you other than that.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
How about Fenton Ranger Researchers, Rachel?
We're still planning our F-119 studies. Fish weir operations, actually that's why I'm here, because I'm going to run out to another meeting soon. So, Greg Taylor, Mary Karen, and some folks from NIMS, and I believe ODFW, floated in our Saltanium last week. I got to get my basins right. Because there are some concerns with the amount of water in storage and release. It's been a dry summer and a dry fall. And some arrangements was made to go down to minimum flows in the Saltanium to 1,000. Normally it would have been 1,500, but they're reducing to 1,100 in October. But they had some agreement with them, so it's okay to go down to 1,000, and ODFW are going out this week to do some spawning surveys, and they're going to maintain 1,000. That said, that affects the fish weir operation that we had planned, which is about 500 CFS from the fish weir alone. And where is the other 500 going to come from? It's too low, too small amount to put through a turbine or to spill bait. So I spoke to Greg Taylor yesterday, and we are setting the fish weir, and I'll update the Harmony team tomorrow, but for folks for flow management to be aware of, is we're setting the weir to operate at 300 CFS, which it's also designed to do. And in that way, the 700 or 630 CFS could go through the turbine, so the other 70 to go through the ladder. I thought that it might be like Mary Karen or Nimitz or somebody would have been here to ask what we're doing with the fish weir, given with this new decision to operate or use the minimum flows as a salt can, you know, 1,000 instead of 1,500, but a lot easier.
Yeah, did anyone from
Water
Management? Hey, NIMS got on the line. This is Diana, but I don't have Ann, who's the lead on the flow decision and how we'd want to operate that, and she's actually out on a site visit this morning, but I've just made myself a big bold note for her to circle back with Benton about what to do.
Yeah, Diana, I didn't realize that you were on the phone.
I know, I hopped on late. That's my fault.
Oh, okay. So I checked in with Greg Taylor yesterday because he was part of that group. So there was a flow management call early last week, and while they were on the phone trying to determine how they're going to manage the little bit of water that's available, the idea came up of reducing the flow to 1,000 CFS and see if it would affect spawning and incubation. And so then a group of them went out and floated the North Saltanium last week. Greg Taylor was the tour guide. And I know Ann went out, Mary Karen went out, Chris Walker went out, and some other folks went out. And then following up on that, they made a decision to reduce the Saltanium flows to 1,000 CFS. And then Mary Karen sent an email out internally to core folks saying this was a decision. Fenton, all of this is going to affect your fish weir operation. Because basically, we couldn't operate a fish weir at 500 CFS. And so the weir was designed to operate at low flow. And so it's being set right now. However, the weir isn't in operation right now. It goes into operation in the middle of October. So Diana, I ask Emily for an agenda item tomorrow to update the Harmony team and talk about the research and everything else. But, you know, that's sort of the schedule for tomorrow.
Gotcha. So, yeah, thanks for that. We can talk about it more tomorrow about what I'm assuming that, like, at least that question about what is that going to mean for the Weir Ops hadn't gotten back to us. So I can circle back with Ann, too, about where they think the flow of targets may be going between now and mid-October, just to have a better understanding. So anyway, I'll touch base with her before tomorrow and we can...
Okay, and if you, if you want, I'm playing musical meetings today, but I'd love if you had some time later today or so. Maybe I can check in with you and you and I can talk so that you're aware of what I'll be talking about at Harmony tomorrow. Or you can wait and be surprised with everybody else in the room. Well, I mean, you already know right now that we're studying a Weir software that's for MRCFS, and they're doing that today.
Yeah, I don't remember when your study, like, I don't remember when your releases would typically start, so.
Middle of October, in about 2 weeks. They're studying the Weir today, and Mary Karen started drafting, I should say water management, started drafting the reservoir today.
Gotcha. All right, yeah, well, I'm around later today. If you want to give me a call whenever you're between.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that. I'll try to find the time and just chat with you about some thoughts.
Perfect.
So I have a few items here for Harmony. So the Kupupa stress study was obligated this week. That being said, researchers were collecting Kupupas at the Willamette Hatchery. There's potential, I haven't confirmed this, but they say they also want to possibly look at Dexter and Roaring River to collect copepods to hold on to for culture to work on the infection method. They also, for FY19, could be requesting hatchery fish from the Willamette Hatchery to look at into using infection post stress study. But there are a couple options available. Possibly through the surrogate fish program, so that might not be on the table. But just so it's on everyone's radar. And those are the main things I have for
that. Can I ask a quick question before we go into Harmony? Sorry, somebody had a question on the phone.
Copepods this year or next year?
So this year, OSU is working on the infection protocol in the lab. For the specific stress studies. Those will probably happen. Those will be on deck for FY19, and that's when there could be a possibility that they might be requesting Willamette Hatchery.
Okay, we just didn't have any more fish. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't going on this year.
No.
Since I have Greg and Ryan on the phone and Diana. One question came up from our balloon tag study, and Diana, I don't know if Corey checked in with you. But we were wondering, the adult fish, once the ones that are not dead or look healthy after passage, we were euthanizing all of them, but Corey pointed out in the permit, NIM says to euthanize all the research fish, but ODF&W says go ahead and release them. And so what would you like us to do with those adult fish, the adult steelhead, after we test them? Release them back into the river so people can catch them or euthanize them?
You're talking just about the adult swimmers that have all the balloons in them?
Correct. Yeah. Take all the balloons and the radio tag off of them.
Right. Let me check in with Elise and see what she was thinking. And then I'll circle back with you.
We've got a couple of weeks. I just remembered off. I thought I'd ask since we have people on the phone and in the room.
Are
those
going to be anesthetized with something?
No, they're not.
Okay.
The balloons are put on while they're still active, and then once we recapture them, the balloons are taken off. So that's why we ask, well, should we really put down all these fish, or should we put them back in so the people 100 feet downstream can catch them?
Okay, so Diana, you'll get back to Any other? What's all their pictures?
So I think you have FY19, so you should have that recurring by the note.
And the next meeting is the 2nd? No, wait, when?
Federate meeting or Harmony?
Harmony's tomorrow.
Harmony's tomorrow and Federate is the 2nd, next Tuesday.
Hills Creek. Can you tell me that one more time?
715-715.
All right. Moving on to the Pinniped update. Ryan. Thanks. Yeah, so I talked to a few folks within OFW, got a quick update. So this will be short and sweet. So our monitoring efforts won't begin again until January 1st. We do know, however, just from some observations, not our planned monitoring, but just some observations, that there are five California sea lions currently hanging out at Willamette Falls. So I suspect there is something down there that they're feeding on. We have an estimated predation for this run year for 2018 was approximately 22% on winter steelhead and 9% on wild spring chinook. And with that, I think that is all.
Hey, this is Ian from the Corps. Just related to that, just the brief on the pinnipeds and what the sea lions might be eating down there. I just noticed that the Willamette Falls on the counts, there's looks like there was at least about 100 clipped spring chinook, maybe. I don't know, some sort of chinook that are going over the falls right now. I'm just wondering what that hatchery component is made up of at this point. It just seems odd to see clipped chinook going over Willamette Falls this time of year, and didn't know if anyone at ODF&W or related to the hatchery programs would know what's going on with that.
Yeah, good question. I don't have a great sense. I do know we have been seeing and counting fall chinook passage at the falls, but obviously not a hatchery program there, so I don't have a great answer for you.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, are they strays, or I just didn't see, I can't imagine spring chinook holding up in Portland Harbor and then making a run in the fall. So I'm just kind of curious what this hatchery component is right now. I'm just wondering if anybody's got their hands on it and could maybe get a coded wire tag and figure that out.
Greg can speak to it if I misspeak, but we tend to not see these fish show up in any of the trapping facilities that we operate.
Yeah, I know. I've seen like three fish this week. They're all rerun, males, non-marks. I haven't seen a hatchery Chinook in a week. I do know there's coho coming over Bennett, but I would think that they would count those separate. I don't know what they'd be.
Yeah, just thinking that might be creating the attraction for the pinnipeds down there, too.
Hey, that's interesting. Hey, Ryan, this is Bob Wertheimer. We're here at Bonneville. Right now, we've got like 35 Stellar Sea Lions in our tail race. When we see, being brought to low numbers of fish passing, of course, when we see low numbers, we see magnified impacts. Right now, we've got B-run. Summer is still passing, going up towards Idaho. So the impacts, if Idaho is on the line, they'd be very interested in our numbers. I'm kind of, five California sea lions right now, that's really surprising to me based on what we see this time of year for Californias. We typically don't. We'll see an occasional stray, but typically it's stellar sea lions right now. So are we kind of definitive on those IDs? Over.
Yeah, from my from the update I received from our benefit folks, Brian Wright was that it was five as of last week. Five California sea lions were hanging out.
Yeah, and Brian knows his animals. That's fine. I just wanted to, when I heard California, my ears jumped like, really? That's pretty surprising. And it's interesting because we see so much rapid movement between the two locations, Bonneville and the Sullivan plant here, that it'll be interesting to see if we see any of those animals. And we'll touch base with Brian. I'll talk to Kyle and kind of give him an update of what's going on. Thank you for that update.
Yeah, no problem. Brian did mention that all five are, repeat offenders, if that's a fair repeat returnees, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, either way, it's fair, I believe.
Yeah. They're known.
No knowns.
Okay, any more on the pinniped update? Did anyone from BPA join us? Then I'm going to say we don't have a BPA update. How about Cougar Fish Facility?
Not a lot to report on there since the fire has pretty much stopped all operations of the facility. We did close the facility down on August 28th and returned all of the fish in the trap back to the river since we couldn't get upstream of the dam due to the fire. So had a total of 119 fish back to the facility for the season. Not a lot. I imagine we would have captured quite a bit more if the fire hadn't interfered, but that's where we are. If anyone has any questions, that's all I have for Cougar.
Hey, Ryan, Chad, any update on the situation with that fire? I mean, you guys might be able to get back up there?
There was some talk a week or so ago about possibly they were going to allow us access to haul fish, but I guess the road was pretty heavily damaged. I think some of the culverts melted, and I guess just the road is too unsafe, so they kind of stopped that idea. I don't think anytime soon.
Yeah, so those are probably final outplant numbers from Cougar.
Yeah, those are going to be final numbers, and I'm sure the fish are probably in full spawning right now below the dam, so we're going to head up there later today and check it out.
Okay.
All right, how about Bald Creek?
Hey, everybody, this is Doug Garland. We're going to be closing Fall Creek tomorrow for the end of the season over there to facilitate the water supply contract initiation, which is going to be starting up here October. Numbers, Fall Creek, as of Monday, we had 41 non-marked males return to the facility, 36 non-marked females, 15 jacks, for a grand total of 92 Chinook transported above the impoundment at Fall Creek. We also collected 4 male ad-clipped Chinook adults and 5 females. Those were released into the Stilling Basin. For the season, we also transported 10 male winter steelhead and 14 female winter steelhead. And the brand new fish facility was able to pass 5 Pacific lamprey off its ladder and into the freesort pool. 4 of those Pacific lamprey adults we were able to transport upstream of the impoundment. 1 escaped from the freesort pool while we were working. So those are pretty much numbers. If anyone needs any details, please feel free to get a hold of me. Thanks.
All right, moving on to the contract. So we have awarded Willamette Hatchery's contract that was awarded at the end of August. For trout, we have 200,000 pounds of trout scheduled for calendar year 19 deliveries. And today we also obligated for 2020 deliveries at least 100,000 pounds of trout. That will help our 19 budget, which is currently, now it's 465,000 less, roughly $500,000 short. So we'll see what that brings as we get closer to the January deadline for the next trout auctions. Monitoring and evaluation, the surveys are currently ongoing. We will be looking at what needs to be done for next year and hopefully get a contract awarded by the 1st of April. Is that when he wanted it? Any questions on any of those?
Hey, Tammy, with the spawning surveys, this is Bob Berthimer. With the spawning surveys, when we were talking about the foster weir before, I think Fenn mentioned that maybe ODF&W was going to go down and do some spawning surveys there. Just want to make sure, this came up in another meeting, that there's coordination going on when ODF&W does the spawning surveys with the contractor that the Corps has doing in Normando. So if that fish heads or, you know, that the data that's being collected, that we have a central data repository so we can get good reporting for this year. Over. I hear crickets. Does that make sense?
Yes.
What? One question. This is Rich. Is there a point of contact from ODFW on surveys that we could put Normando in touch with?
Yeah, Mark, this is Ryan. Mark Lewis would be the contact, and I believe Mark I believe he and Chris Walker spoke on this issue, and I believe Chris has been in contact with the folks at Normando, to my understanding. Mark Lewis would be the point.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well, Ryan. I think Normando has been talking to the ODFW crews that are out there and coordinating schedules.
Sounds like my understanding was the very first week of surveys, there was a miscue, and two teams showed up at the same reason. Other than that, there haven't been conflicts, to my understanding. But I think Bob does bring up a good point about a centralized, standardized clearinghouse, if you will. And I think that's something that ODFW certainly supports.
Yeah, Rich, again, are these reaches places ODFW would be surveying annually? That would be helpful to know, so we could spread our resources accordingly.
Yes, this will be, so Ryan, just for your awareness, I believe that this will be one of the topics when we come meet with you guys later in October to discuss not only monitoring and evaluation, but also trout stocking, trout schedules, things like that. We'll want to at least touch base on this one and see if we can figure something out for next year and future years. But the goal would be, rather than duplicate efforts, let's spread it out so we can get more coverage if we can. Any other questions on the contract? All right, moving on to coordination forms. So the first two are MFRs. If you have additional comments on those, you can make those now, or you can send emails and we'll get those included in those documents. And then the last one is an actual MOC, which is to discuss the holding of unmarked Chinook salmon at Foster, as well as discuss some other elk hunting strategies. This one, comments don't close until October 9th, that we can talk through it now if people have questions or concerns, comments. We can also let you know that there'll be an updated version coming that talks about options 2 and 3 in a little more detail than what the version Chris sent out had.
Can you want me to walk through the updated version?
Sure. Let's give them
a actually, was there a comment or a question on the phone?
This is Ryan with ODFW. I guess I just will make the comment that it's repeated a few times that holding unmarked Chinook at Foster would result in high density and exposure to disease. I'm not sure how high density is defined, but we're talking about less than 100 fish held in a post sort that's designed for a couple thousand fish. So. I would certainly argue that the density would be extremely low in any of those post sort pools at Foster. From a disease perspective, we see very little and treat very little of the adults we do hold long term. So I'm not sure that I would support those two comments, but certainly happy to walk through the document.
Cool. Thanks, Ryan. I think those additions would be helpful to add the data on what densities are these fish being exposed to. So, yeah, this is Rich again. I work on the R&E team and work with Chris and folks here at the Corps to add information to the initial draft. And understand this year there was the effort to hold fish, but what we got to thinking about is the need to kind of consider the options moving forward. And so the MLC kind of outlines what options might be available to kind of meet the goal. And I think the intended goal here of the MLC is to maximize survival and spawning success of returning adults that are trapped and outplanted. And we know in some years it can get hot, especially including the South Sea Anam above Foster. So we identified three options, the one being conducted this year, holding adults at Foster. Another could be released to the reservoir. And a third could be looking for alternative stream release sites. We outlined some of the risks in the updated draft, and then we included also triggers to consider to know when should the protocol deviate from the normal protocol in the WFOP, which is to move fish consistent with the run timing. Those things are kind of initially outlined in this draft. I think there's going to need to be more work when the WFOP is being updated this winter, and there's probably some research needs, and you've outlined a few of those. For some reason, unfortunately, our draft, we have additional descriptions of options 2 and 3. Tammy mentioned we're going to insert those and provide an updated version. They just provide a paragraph describing the release to reservoir strategy and looking for alternative stream sites. So that's the basic nature of what led us to expanding the MLC to include options and leading to a conclusion that for this year was to hold adults.
Okay. Comments or questions at this time?
Rich, this is Ryan. Thanks. That's helpful. Just a final comment. I think, holding, I don't have the number of days off the top of my head, but the number of days that those fish were held at Foster was certainly not the length of the run. It was, I think about 2 to 3 weeks that those fish were held. So it was held while the temperatures were higher than what was in the WFOP. But it certainly wasn't the length of the run or anything like that.
Really. Okay, thanks. I didn't have all information. Were there any outplants early in the season this year?
There were.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought Chris had that in his original draft. I know we sent him some information that broke down the early outplanting that occurred, the section in the middle, I guess, if you want to say, when we did hold those fish based on the outplant site temperature. And then once temperatures drop back within the back under 20 C, then we did again begin outplanting as usual.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, I'll try and get that description updated and probably run it by you and make sure I got the facts straight.
I've got some of the details in one of the minutes
boat in depth.
Okay.
It has, like, all the numbers of fish that were outplanted on kind of that normal schedule up to when temperatures rose, and then how long and how many fish were held for that period.
Okay.
And then when it ceased, we went back to more normal operations. I'll send that to you guys.
All right, we'll get that updated in a new version out that includes the option 2 and 3 descriptions.
Yeah, sounds good. I guess when we looked at it, and Andy did a good job of capturing those notes, we looked at it, and I didn't see a lot of deviation from what was in the WFOP, so maybe I'm misinterpreting some of that, but it seemed like there was a lot of consistency with what's outlined in the plan.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing up is a need to talk further later this year about comparing options of holding versus reservoir release and seeing if there's additional data needs to make a determination on which might be best. Not just the foster, but the other traps as well. Since, like, for example, in the long run at Detroit, probably will need to seriously consider reservoir releases with 2 tributaries, for example. And ideally, we don't want to have to hold fish, is our assumption here. So we want to make sure it's the right thing to do and when to do it.
Sounds good.
I think option 3 may be kind of a tough one. I know we looked at different outplant sites in all the different basins a number of different times, and in some instances, there's just not a whole lot of good options out there. I don't know if there are any better stream locations with cooler temperatures in the South San Yam that we could find. Brett may have some ideas. I know in the North San Yam, the highest elevation and highest river mile outplant site we have at Paris Lake Road, the stream flows are so low there, the temperatures actually rise as you move higher into the basin. So,
yeah. Kind of that's what we had in our description that didn't make this version, that we didn't identify another site, but it was just an option that we threw out that should probably just be stated and not known, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Brett may have some other ideas of bigger pools or older water refuges up higher in the basin.
So everyone, review that, and we'll discuss it probably at the next DEFCON meeting.
We'll get the update out within the week, or by next week when Kristen's back.
She'll be back at the end of next week, so.
Okay, so look for it next week.
Yeah, and then the next one for the WFOP is the maintenance period, and we are going to have a little task group meeting after the October FPOL meeting to discuss maintenance periods as well as the adult fish facility operations. So please come prepared to discuss those two items, and we'll start making edits to the WFOP. Also, just a reminder, it would be a good time now to start submitting any changes to the WFOP that you want to see or that you think are needed. Oh, Rich leaves right before
Rich.
His task group quits.
They always bring that up. You always bring that up, but I always say no updates.
Swift. The Swift team works on in-stream flow. And we're this year have phase 2 proceeding. There was a meeting in August with the full group. I think all agencies were represented. The work will be accomplishing a look at the habitat flow relationships in both tributaries and main stem this year, with reports due out late in the 2019, I believe. So there's not going to be a lot of updates, like on a monthly basis moving forward. And there's representatives on the team from each of the agencies that if people have questions, they could check in with.
Brilliant. Is it on the agenda for you
now? No! Tried.
You did try. That was a valuable
number. Maybe I'll send you the link to our research team's documents.
Do you meet monthly?
No, there's a monthly meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep it in when you do have that
meeting.
Okay. All right, and then, like I said, adult fish facilities, that'll be after the next FPOM meeting. Is there anything else anyone wants to bring up and talk about?
Hey, just real quick, I forgot to mention earlier, Ryan and Greg, I know Brent isn't on the phone, but thanks for providing the fish, the adult fish for the foster study in September, and hopefully I can get some more in October. I really appreciate your support.
Yeah, I currently have about 75 on station. I'm just waiting for Brett to see if he needs those.
Okay, that's awesome. So. I need 125.
Okay, I'm pretty sure between the two of us, shouldn't be an issue.
Excellent, thank you.
All right, anything else? No? Okay. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. We'll talk again next month.